add-on figure is. Is it the 800 and?
Okay, we have returned to our meeting, and we do still, everyone is still present, so we still have a quorum. And we are currently discussing ONCA 2286. Congresswoman Rivard?
Okay, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to... Okay, so I apologize to the committee. I didn't expect the ask. I thought it was a solid 14. And so I apologize. I wasn't made aware of that before the meeting. And so I wasn't prepared for any amendments. In all honesty, I didn't know that we would be discussing cutting anything. And so that's where we are. If we're to take this up, I don't know that we need a water feature. That's not on the table for me at this point. But also, if we do this, then it takes all of our ARPA balance pretty much. And I just want the committee to be aware of that. And so again, you know, I am the sponsor, but it's not my bill once I read it in. And so if there's any amendment, I probably won't be the one making the amendment. I'm the one that submitted the bill at the 14, that brought it up to the 14. But I'm open, like I said, to work with the committee, but we need to take in consideration all of these things. It's very important because we also know, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, I think it was, or day before, we have a lot of bills in front of us and a lot of bills that are outside that some of my colleagues that have put forth that I may or may not agree with, but the point is, CJO, it's where we talk about this stuff, but at the same time, we also have a lot of bills out there, a funeral home, assisted living, our housings, our the Wake and Iron. I'm not talking about just ARPA projects. We have a whole lot out there that we've just asked for A&E, or even our legislative branch building. We talked to Meredith today about the judicial. We don't know, and she made that point too, that once you dig in the ground, and I think even Assistant Chief has talked about this, we don't know what we're going to find or not. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind. We have a lot of bills that have passed during HUNCA for new builds that we need in our historical boundaries. Every one of them are of importance. And I feel so good that our Congress and the executive work together to prioritize, and this was one of them. I don't mind saying, and I'm glad to know that, but I'd like to just keep in mind that we have all these other projects that are just as important that were also mentioned in the strategic plan. And some of those were on the priority list, and some of them were not. But I just want everybody to keep in mind that once we start building, those are tribal dollars. So we only have so many pots of money. And again, I apologize to the committee. I did not know that there was going to be a higher ask today. I thought we would already be done with this bill. I seriously did. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be quick. But I wasn't aware that there was going to be an increase. So whatever the committee decides, I'm not sold on the water feature.
Okay.
So
the water feature also, though, Congresswoman Rivard, is more than just a water feature. It's all the amenities that are there, not just the water feature. It's the sweat, it's the irrigation, and it's the walking trails. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the water. I want to be clear on that, okay? It has all those underneath it, that whole amount there. Mr. Wygant, I know that Congresswoman Stabler, and I'm mentioned this earlier, but I know that some people have been talking about, and you guys might look at me sideways, that's okay, about the balance that's left in the direct assistance from the 30-some, I can't remember how many million it was, from the ARPA dollars. And that's going to be ending September 30th, correct? Oh, it ended. That's right, September 1st. Do you have any idea?
We do not, and there's some plans on closeout that we have not revealed to the public yet. And once that is fully closed out, we will have that amount, but it is
okay.
Still being processed.
Okay. That's just something else that's possibly out there to think about, so, correct? Okay, well, if there's not going to be any movement, we can just move on down the agenda. I'm just saying, you know, I feel like we're kind of at a stalemate right now. And it's okay. It's just, you know, we do have several other things on the agenda to look at. So I'm looking for movement or an amendment or...
I have just one more comment. So I hear you, Congresswoman, and I think that we're going to run into this issue as we start talking more about assisted living, because we made the recommendation. Our desire as a body was to have three, right? Because our heart was in the right place. We want all of our elders to stay in their communities because that's important to them. To be in an area that's where their support system is. And given the prices right now, that may not be realistic. I don't know. I mean, it may not be. But I don't want to run into an issue with all the other things that we have going on, and Congresswoman Rivard made mention of many of them: the funeral home, assisted living in three communities, senior housing, and for anyone to come to our podium and they say, we don't have enough, and this body has to say, make it enough, because we don't have, there's no more ARPA dollars. There's that we just spent, you know, X amount of dollars in direct assistance or new positions or whatever it is that this body appropriates out. I don't want to get into that position. But I've also been a part of a Congress that we budgeted all the way down to $25,000 in the Treasury, and I don't want to be that Congress any again. So I hear you, and I will. If you're not willing to amend it, then, and I know that this is very important to you, and I don't hear anyone else. I think we all think that the transitional living is important, but I don't know that we're willing to amend it right now either, because that might be one of those things that it comes a little later than what we want it to, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm willing to amend it either, but I'm on the committee, so I'd have to vote for it if someone makes the motion.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
We also have, again, we have different asks from other committee or other Congress members to use ARPA funds. And it is important to me. I wish we could do all of it, but I just don't know that we're in the... that we can. I would like, you know, the committee to send it out as written. That way they can do something. And if something comes up different, then I can make an amendment on the floor or somebody else can. But instead of it just sitting here, I would entertain that it get moved out at the current amount listed in the bill.
Motion to report out ONCA 2286 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries. Will we report it to Congress as a due pass? Okay, are we at a spot to turn the chair back over to you, ma'am? Or
okay.
Are we?
I believe so. Let's see what we have.
I know, I gotta look too. Yes, we are, if you're going straight down the agenda. So relinquish the chair to you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you for everybody in attendance.
Could we take a two-minute break?
Hey, James, where are you going? Okay, all right.
Well, they're all getting out the door now, so I'll just...
Okay. You guys want to recess for...
No, never mind.
Is that what you're saying? Congresswoman Stabler?
No, I said they're already out the door. I'll just email them.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is item number 6, which is ONCA 22-90. An act to amend the Osage Nation Health Benefit Act at 16 ONC 3-105 and 3-106 to allow benefits to accrue on a limited basis, to remove the enrollment period, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. So I will turn this over to you, Congressman Potts. Thank you for attending the meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. ONCA 2290 is the result of many conversations with constituents throughout the election process and also many emails, calls, texts that I've received over the last few years. 2290 specifically addresses four sections of Osage Law 1 and Section 6 or Title 16, 3105, and three provisions in 3106. Section 1, on page 1, the only amending language is 3105B, and that removes the deadline for application. I heard from many constituents throughout the process of instituting the deadline that have missed the deadline and were no longer eligible for benefits for this year. This hits close to home. Not necessarily my family, but within our directors, within our legislative staff, we've had individuals who we directly know that have missed the deadline. And it's not that anybody was paying attention or wasn't paying attention. It's a deadline that, in my opinion, doesn't necessarily need to be there. So the First Amendment would be removing that provision in B. Section 2 on page 2, the amending language occurs around line 56 in section B. This moves the eligible or maximum benefit from $500 per individual member under the age of 65 to $1,000. The next change would be in on page 3 in H, allowing for a limited accrual basis of health benefit dollars. So instead of going back to 3 years, this would allow for 1 year of a rollover to kind of to curb the cost there. So it allows for 1 year, and then section R would be new language stating that after August 1st of 2025, no appropriation shall be made to the Osage Nation Health Benefit Fund if an annual audit has not been submitted to the Osage Nation Congress within the last 3 years. We've long had language in here in Q that requires an annual audit of the health benefit plan. It's my understanding we've not ever received one of those audits. So this puts, Section R would put a little bit of teeth into the annual audit requirement, and hopefully we start to see those come in the door. Otherwise, we're gonna have a halting of this fund until the executive branch is able to deliver on the annual audit as required. So with that, I'm open to any questions and happy to move forward.
Committee, any questions for Congressman Potts?
Madam Chair, if I may.
Go
Thank
ahead.
You, Madam Chair. So one of the biggest concerns I know the committee had, or some individuals had communicated, was the cost. I've attempted to get a little handle on that with our budget analyst. It's been stated before that this bill could cost as much as $24 million. That is grossly overstated. based on the numbers that we have enrolled currently, the total cost for the health benefit on an annual basis comes to $6,745,000, with the Plan F and Part D currently costing about $4.6 million for a total of $11.4 million, which is what the executive branch has put in as a request for this year. Introducing for the maximum benefit amount, if we increase all 11,386 members currently and increase that to $1,000, the total cost would go from $5.6 million to $11.3 million, only an additional cost of $5.6 million, far less than the $24 million or even $12 million that was discussed previously. So it would take the total annual cost to around $12.4 million in addition to the $4.65 for Plan F Part D. That would take the total appropriation to $17 million instead of $11.4 million, still remaining well under any of the projections that have come out so far.
So, Congressman Potts, can you talk a little bit about the rollover you're talking about for 64 and under?
Correct.
And you're saying that the rollover would stay in place for, your bill says, a year?
1 year. So funds would only be able to accrue for 1 year.
So we had discussed this, I think, was it last year, and Congress said that this would be the year the rollover would stop. So what makes it different from, what's changed to make it go forward another year?
So this would bring the rollover back, but instead of for a period of 3 years where you can accrue funds, it would be for 1 year.
So I thought this year was the year the rollover ends.
That's correct.
Okay. And so now we're saying it doesn't end.
Correct.
And why is that?
I've received multiple calls from constituents that wish we had not taken away the rollover for many different reasons. They utilize those funds to accrue for specific health purposes. Some individuals would pay for surgeries with those dollars. They had specifically accumulated those dollars to make those larger medical expenses. When we did away with that, some of those same individuals then missed the qualifying deadline. So they were not only out any potential future rollover dollars, they were also out the annual dollars to help with their benefit. So in essence, what we did by removing the rollover in the first place and instituting the deadline, I've received at least probably 10 communications from individuals where that was a service that we had offered to them, had told them would be there, and we pulled that back. So this bill would be reinstating those.
Chairman?
Yes?
I have a comment. So, and I think that we all receive different communication from the individuals that we serve. I've received communication from individuals that don't have any problem, issue, complaint with the deadline or the enrollment period. They just don't. You gave us adequate time. We had 2 months. I either made it or I didn't. Some people said they didn't. And then they said, but I'm not going to complain about it because we were notified. We were notified. We had plenty of time and we just missed it. So we'll sign up next year. And they did. And for those people that contacted me personally, I actually would, as the second enrollment period is coming, I got a hold of them and said, hey, don't forget about that. And they said, oh, we've got it on our, we made a note of it. And then to communication that I've received personally, I've talked to people who have said, we're okay with not having the rollover because I use all of my money every year. So there was never anything for me to roll into the next year. The people that have chronic health conditions, those were the people that probably notified me the most that said, we never had a rollover. We used every penny. And so it didn't really matter if the rollover for them personally that contacted me, that if they got it earned, they were going to use the next year's money anyways. So, I mean, you know, we're all getting contacted by different people. And I think that Congresswoman Rivard had talked last year as we discussed this about the number of people, and I agree, the number of people that signed up. There were thousands of people that enrolled by the deadline. And so this is just going to come down to, I think for a lot of us, you know, have any of us changed our minds on the change that we made? For me, no. My mind has not changed. I'm right where I was, you know, last year when we did away with the rollover, and but still are providing the health benefit card. We are still, you know, when I hear, well, you took away our money. Well, we are still providing $500 a year. And the rollover part, I said this, you know, last year when we talked, when that rollover was inserted in there, Congress at the time did not mean to make it 3 years. Now, I realize that Congressman Potts is for one and not three, but the amount of money that we put into that was an unfunded liability, and I've heard members say for years that that's an issue for them. So we could stay on this probably for days. I don't know. I think it's going to come down to, this is just me being in this seat for a long time. I don't know. If someone has changed their mind, then they probably need to say it now. But you, 1, 2, 3, 4 of us, 5 of us that are sitting here, I know Congressman Potts voted against it. I know the assistant principal chief voted against it. I don't know if our minds have been swayed one way or the other, but now's the time to probably discuss it.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I think we'd all like to see things get bigger and better and all that, but we stopped this for a reason, for a financial reason. We've got a little bump going on right now with more money, so okay, but at the same time, I start thinking about, first of all, there's 24,000 out there. I think we need to fund for 24,000 if that's what we're going to do, because that's what kept biting us. That's what drove me to say we can't continue these rollovers, because it was costing us more and more in the past years, every year that we went down that road. But I got to thinking, you know, right now we're looking at alternate bills that offer different services. So we've got the health benefit going on. Then we've got these other services, the shelter, the shelters, the disability, the clothing and supplies, some other things that are, I don't know if they're going to be considered rollover. I don't know how you can stop them once you start them. But even if they were one time or something, that gives some variety to some needs. You know, so I, you know, I talked with someone the other night, been talking for days now, so I can't remember who I was talking to, but talking about, you know, why is it people can't choose? They say this year, you know, maybe they're older and they need something else. Maybe they're younger and they've got school-age kids and they need something else. Why can't it be a fund where they can pick what, so they have a dollar amount and they pick and choose what it is they want this year? You know, we talked about other tribes and what they do. Some tribes, they have national contracts with vendors or manufacturers, and they can go in and pick and choose if they want appliances or they want, you know, put it toward construction or something like that. I think that this, it's a good idea to try to do better and help your tribal members, but maybe not focus so much on one thing. I like some of these little bills that we're talking about, putting some money out there for people, storm shelters especially, and schools, clothing for kids and stuff like that. I like that. And I know we've got some work to do about how we set up administration for those kind of things and that kind of stuff. But I think I think for me, as much as I would love to increase this by $1,000, I'd rather see some of that money, not all of it, because we don't have it, but some of that money go through to some other services that could benefit people. So that's where my mind is right now.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any other?
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just sticking with the the underlying principle or underlying belief that we need to budget for the $24,000, that would mean that we need to increase the current appropriation from 11.4 by another $6.8 million. What I'm getting to at that is that's not realistic. We don't need to increase by another $6.8 million. Because that's never how we've budgeted for this in the past. And it's not creating an unfunded liability. Because we know what the liability is. It's fully funded. But what we can do is increase the appropriation by the additional $5.6 million, which increases $500 per year to $1,000. And I've already offered this to others, happy to make it known here today. I'm willing to compromise on this bill. I'm willing to jettison some things. This is the wish list of many constituents that have communicated to me, and Speaker Good Fox is correct. We don't all hear from the same constituents. But the constituents who have contacted me, this hurt when they missed a deadline and they didn't have money to pay for a bill. We did take their health benefit away. That's what it was to them. Or they had been saving for a period of 3 years, and then all of a sudden it was gone. We did take that away. Here's an opportunity that we do have the funds available. We can make this a priority, and we can do it.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Congress Chair Rebard. So, to your comment, Congressman Potts, about we did take away, the rollover didn't end immediately. So that there's people that still have rollover dollars as of right now. I'm one of them. So, I mean, it didn't end immediately, the rollover, and they didn't lose those rollover dollars right there. They're still in their account. That's my understanding, because they're still in my account, the ones that haven't fallen off yet or whatever you want to call it, because I didn't expend them. But anyways, I mean, I just want to, because to me, what you were just explaining just sounded like it just all just wiped its slate clean, and it didn't actually. So on that point, I mean, that's just one of the things. But the other piece is that we all hear from different people, and I've actually heard from both sides. I've heard from somebody who's saying, you know, gosh, change it this, change it that. Every year we're going to change something. How are we ever going to stay on track with what we're supposed to be doing? We're going to enroll this year, not have to enroll, have perpetual enroll, not going to. If you're over 65, you have to remember that if you turn 65 this year, you're going to be in perpetual enrollment, or are you not? I think we need to stick with something. And for the sake of order, and if that's one thing that drives a lot of Native folks at the core, is order. And so I've heard, you know, I mean, somebody I grew up with didn't like the fact that we did this. I mean, I'm talking grew up with, down the road, in Gray Horse, spent summers together. You know, heard from some elders. They were like, that is one of the most fiduciary things, responsible things you guys have done, I think, in a long time. I'm tired of listening to this back and forth constantly about the health benefit. Make a decision, move on. And so I get both sides of it. Got somebody else who's like, I don't really care about it. I don't use it, you know? And so there's all those stories out there. And, you know, I hadn't thought about what Congresswoman Stabler said. You know, we would love to be able to give everybody, our Constitution doesn't allow it, but who wouldn't love to be able just to give everybody all the money they needed? Of our, you know, people, for them to be able to do what they needed. And so, you know, I know that you care about our people just as much as anybody else does. I know that we all have our niches that we get into. And, but I also know that, like, there are programs out there that we've all talked about for a long, long, long time. I've been one of them who talked about, we all talk about elders, but we don't do anything about it. Our prior speaker was the same way, and she just finally said, I'm going to throw a bill out there. And so this is a time that we can have assisted living finally, you know. And so while I do commend you on your continuous effort, I can't support it at this point in time, because I don't have a resounding amount of people saying, you know, that this is what it did to me, or I've got a group of people that said, yes, I wish you hadn't taken it away, after visiting with them at longer lengths and having longer conversations. They were like, oh, you know, some of them. Other ones were like, no, you just never should have taken it away. And so I think we need to get with a plan and stick with it. And the particular group that's on the health committee right now, and visiting with some other members of Congress, you know, this is the plan that we've stuck with as far as having an enrollment date and a deadline. You exactly know exactly how many members are going to utilize that benefit during the year, except for newborns, of course. You have a really much better handle on the dollar amount. And that is a safety net for us as people that are sitting here. And so, like I said, I commend you on the fact that you continue to bring this back and your efforts to not give up on it. I really do. I'm not going to support it. I do like R, is it? Did I get my numbers correct?
Strengthening the language on the annual audit?
Yes. I do. I definitely, that is the jumped out at me, and I really like that piece of it. But I'm not there for the rollover, Congressman Potts, and I'm not there to increase it to $1,000 at this point in time. And I think that the constant going back and forth really takes us out of order from, and it really would, you know, I'm just sticking with where I was. I haven't changed my mind on it, but I am in favor of R. Thank you.
Okay, committee.
Motion to report ONCA 2290 to Congress with no recommendation.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Okay, motion fails.
I'll make a motion then to report ONCA 2290 to Congress with a do not pass.
Second.
So motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, moving on to item number 7, ONCA 22-102, an act to... Okay, I'm going to read it as written. An act to an appropriation to the executive branch health support services in the amount of $2,149,173 and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor, so if the chair, without objection, I'll turn it over to the vice chair, Congresswoman Lemon.
All right, Congresswoman Rebard, thank you. I noticed that title, I did notice that in the agenda, so I'm glad you kind of spoke about it. You have the floor, my dear.
Okay, thank you. So this is something new, and I think that, yes, Tyler's on the call. Thank you, Mr. McIntosh, for joining us. I'm going to need some help. So in essence, because of our bill that, you know, set the health, the CCAPHA kind of separate, well, it is separate now, they are to retain their own IDC folks to carry out the functions for them, HR, IT, accounting, things of that nature. So currently, what these bills do is help provide that service through a partial piece of this fiscal year. And because they weren't able, I think they've hired an HR director, But they still haven't hired the rest of the folks that they need to offer admin support to our healthcare system. So Treasurer McIntosh has submitted these budgets that will help them charge the clinic for those IDC type services, and then the clinic will pay, they will be booked to these budgets, and then I guess they'll actually be invoicing to and fro. There'd have to be for the IDC function. So I agreed to sponsor this piece of legislation because I understand the concept. It's like IDC. And so if you guys have any questions, I would definitely refer to Mr. McIntosh to help maybe explain better.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes, I keep putting my hand up because I have amendments that came through, and I wanted to be sure before we start discussing that we're discussing the right information.
Okay, and so tell us a little bit before, like what are we changing?
Well, these are amendments that came from the nation, from the executive branch for this bill.
Do you have some also?
Let me look. I'm so sorry. No, let me look.
Well, she might. These came with my name on them, and so that's why. And I'm not sure if it's because they relate back to the big bills or what.
Can we talk to Mr. McIntosh about it real quick?
It's fine.
I think, if I may, real
Trey
quick.
Trey prepared them.
Okay.
The amendments to the health support services were probably sent to not me because they thought I was the chair.
Gotcha.
And so.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do that, and then we can have discussion on the amendments if they get a second. Congresswoman Saber, go right ahead.
Okay, the First Amendment is to amend ONCA 22-102, page 3, lines 139, insert the following new section on HHS accounting, and then section 7, HHS accounting, the Osage Nation appropriates a sum of $783,882 to HHS accounting from the general fund in the treasury, and is authorized to be spent according to the table below. And you should have a copy of that one.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor.
Second.
And a second for discussion. Does Mr. McIntosh want to give us some details on this particular amendment?
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
The HHS accounting insert is being amended into the bill because they forgot to send it down with the initial batch of budgets. And so that's what this amendment is for, just to get that in the
bill. Okay, great then. All right. If the committee's okay with the discussion, I appreciate that, Mr. Frazier. Then we'll go to a vote. All in favor, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Motion carries. All right, Ms. Stabler, go right ahead.
Okay, the next amendment is to ONCA 22-102, section 9, HHS emergency management, page 6, lines 239 to 267. Strike lines 239 to 267 and insert the following table. And you have should have the table in your email.
All right, motion's on the floor. Do I hear a second? And a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say yes.
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 All right, motion carries. Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you, committee. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Could we have a copy of the amendment?
Sure. I'm going to give it to the clerk here in just a second.
Thank you.
I didn't know no one else was copied.
Okay, Mr. McIntosh.
Yes.
Hi, Mr. McIntosh. So, Congresswoman Rivard alluded to the that you might have a little bit of explanation about this particular piece of legislation.
Yes, I'm just kind of following up on what Congresswoman Rivard had stated, that yes, this is based on that legislation as it was reviewed, determined that it kind of qualified the new health organization is a Section 14, or much like the gaming enterprise. So not to get too in-depth with the accounting side of it, this now falls as a component unit to the tribe. Therefore, instead of charging IDC to the health, the new established health entity, this is the way that we can invoice for the services provided. So these services that are being provided, or these budgets, are actually a carve out from the IDC budgets. The way that you'll kind of find through these program budgets is that in splitting out those programs that are currently in IDC, like tribal works in areas of asset management, procurement, accounting, IT, IT equipment, and those areas are really the biggest part of these budgets, as it's seen, is that close to 30% of the operation right now is estimated. And of course, this is a budget, it's estimated, that those are the areas that are going to be heavily relied on. So you'll see that about 30% of the asset management budget is allocated within this legislation, 25% of the proposed, what was tribal works, and then also should be 30% information technology and so on, kind of following an accounting and IT equipment. But with it being more of an invoicing process, it's actually going to become income to the tribe and an expenditure to the new component unit of health. We will be moving forward, and I'll be working with Mr. Rogers and Mr. Brazel, the new newly onboarded CFO, to continue to work through these budgets, review the amounts, and work with them moving forward, basically, on the services that are being provided, the timing. We're staying in pretty close contact and communicating on all that currently. And I don't know if that helps explain kind of the legislation as a whole or not.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. It does. Will this be something that will be every year, or will eventually, as in the health system will eventually encumber this themselves under their umbrella?
Yes, I think the projection is currently that as we progress through this year, that those plans will be made as far as when certain needs of these IDC areas are needed or not needed, as they begin to establish their FTE or their employee base. The goal would be, you know, to essentially, hopefully we're in those discussions, operational discussions about transitioning staff as well through that. But the goal would be that some of this is transitioned off by next end of fiscal year, but I do not know at this point if it will be 100% transitioned off. You have a lot of underlying items such as, you know, network servers, security, and IT that will probably have to continue for some point in time in the future.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Committee, do you have any questions or comments, or any members of Congress? No? Okay. I don't see. Yes, Ms. Rivard, you have the floor.
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry, but I don't have a copy of those, the amendments, but I did have a question on the inserts. I think we talked a little bit about this treasurer. For some reason, like the HSS archives came in as restricted revenue. Is that what we fixed? And then the others came in as tribal appropriations.
Mr. McIntosh?
I think that's where we're looking at these. I would probably more classify them as the other programs have been classified, that we would show this as an income stream in, essentially program income. It should be paid for dollar from the health service. So I think we would need to correct those to show them as income. The income coming in from health would be paying for these services, because the reason I'm carving it out is because I have to prepare my IDC pool separately in the proposal and identified the services that we're providing to the tribal government programs and the federal grants and contracts with what resources of the IDC pool we're using there. So this is why this is carved out and being tracked under 1850 fund, because this will be covered by income coming in from the newly established health entity.
Maybe, so if Chair, if I may, and Tyler, I might be just stuck because it's under, it says tribal appropriation. It says tribal revenue, tribal appropriation. And I don't know why I'm just stuck on that.
No, I think that's a good point, Congresswoman Rivard. I think we need to move that down to more of an income line to show that income will be paying for these services and that it's not coming from like a general gaming tribal appropriation. So I can correct that.
Yes, that's, and if I may, Chair, because I noticed that the archives, you submitted as restricted revenue at $19,772. And then the rest of the budgets came in as like you're asking for a tribal appropriation. And I agree with you 100%. I think it needs to be moved down to program revenue.
Yes, and that's the kind of the review I'm currently doing. If we look at the projected revenue, that's where I'm showing that revenue stream coming in those revenue schedules is underneath the program income schedule.
Okay, so if I may, Chair, with that being said, do you want to relook at this bill? And Trey, I think I could actually do a committee substitute, not today, but... Or what do you guys think as a committee? Because we need to move it down unless we can get the amendments made.
So, okay, committee. Is it an easy amendment, Mr. Franco?
Madam Chair, I was actually texting Trey to ask if there's a way we could just, say, move all revenue to the program revenue lines.
Okay.
I don't know if that's possible or not, but...
Including the archives.
Go ahead, back and forth. That's fine.
I'm not sure. That would be up to Tyler. I don't know why it was categorized as restricted.
Yeah, it's somewhere. I think it's in the process of developing the budgets. But future plans on correcting that. But I would agree that the archives would also go into the program income. That, as Jordan had stated, or as being stated, that all the program revenue or all the revenues for these budgets should be recognized in the program income or income line.
Okay, so is there a possibility that what we could do, Congresswoman Rivard, is visit with Trey, but table this for now and let him work on those amendments between Jordan and him and Tyler?
If we, well, I was going to say, Chair, if I may, so we have an insert section 6 that is an overview. Mm-hmm. And I was going to see if Trey would agree that we could move the $2,129,401 plus the $19,772 into the program revenue on line 106.5 and then adjust the totals accordingly. Maybe could we do that maybe in recess for 10 minutes so that way we can get through another bill in this committee instead of tabling or postponing?
Can you repeat that for me, Congressman Rivard?
Okay. May I, Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
If you see Section 6 of this bill, 22102, I was wondering if you could get an amendment to me that moves the $2,129,401 plus the $19,772. Total those. Let's move it into 106.5 under program revenue and adjust totals accordingly. Because if you go through each of them, each of these sections, Trey, I want to do it correctly, if you look at archives, that 19772 should be moved up to program revenue. If you look at Section 8, communications, that needs, that 29,879 needs to be moved to program revenue, not a tribal appropriation. So I was wondering if you could do an amendment, so if we take a 10-minute recess.
That specific amendment won't change everything throughout. But if the intent is just to move all of the revenue from, or move all of the revenue into program revenue, I mean, that's a simple amendment. Simply state,
you know, that's
strike, or to just to move revenue into program revenue throughout the bill in each section. That's not a problem at all, and we can do that in no time.
Okay.
But is it every budget that you want it in program revenue, or they're all listed as tribal appropriation or restricted?
Is that correct, Tyler?
Yes. Yeah, that'll match up with the projected revenue schedule better.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion.
Okay.
For recess for 10 minutes.
Second. Oh, so move. Sorry.
Second.
We're in recess.
I think that there was more to those amendments than I